Okay, great. Max, you're on.
All right. I'll just say a few words about the overall objectives of our project and then talk a little bit about specifically what we'll be doing this summer. So overall, we're interested in the Arctic hydrologic cycle and how the water cycle of the Arctic is changing due to global climate change, and also how changes in the hydrologic cycle in the Arctic can feed back to global climate. So specifically, we're working on the largest rivers in the Arctic. This project focuses on the six largest rivers, four of which are in Siberia, then the Mackenzie River in Canada and the Yukon River in Alaska. And we're looking at both the discharge of the rivers, the amount of water that they're dumping into the Arctic Ocean, or in the case of the Yukon, the Bering Sea, and also the chemicals that are being discharged into the ocean from those rivers. So what we want to be able to do, well, first I'll say that one of the observations that's driving this project is that the discharge from the large Siberian rivers, at least, has increased over the period of observation. So the Soviets began measuring discharge in these rivers in the 1930s, and over that time period, the last 6 or 7 decades, discharge has increased about 7 or 8%. So that's a lot of extra fresh water entering the Arctic Ocean, which can influence the salinity of the Arctic Ocean, and the Arctic Ocean water circulates into the North Atlantic, and that's a critical location for driving thermohaline circulation or global ocean circulation. Somebody mentioned that movie, The Day After Tomorrow, which some of you may have seen, which is kind of a ridiculous Hollywood movie, but the bit of science that's in there is that freshening of the North Atlantic shuts off this thermohaline circulation that's often called conveyor circulation, which causes the North Atlantic region to rapidly cool. So there's this weird paradox that global warming, through changes in the Arctic hydrologic cycle or the global hydrologic cycle, could lead to a cooling, a regional cooling. So, anyways, last year, these photos that I think you're probably looking at are Amy Clapp and I on, at least some of them are us, on the Lena River, where we went last year in Siberia, which is the second largest of the Arctic rivers, bigger actually than the Mississippi. And this year we're going to go to the Mackenzie River and the Yukon River. While we're there, we'll be collecting water samples that will come back to Woods Hole, and then we'll ship them out to various labs for specialized chemical analysis. We'll be sampling the main channel of the rivers, and also nearby tributaries. As far as expectations or hopes how things work out, I'm pretty optimistic because it went very well last year when I worked with Amy. And you know, she'll just be part of the team, part of the team collecting the samples, just acting actually as one of the scientists involved in the project. And I guess another dimension of this project that we'll be doing this summer is also spending some time trying to actually interact with people in the communities where sampling will be based. On the Yukon River, we'll be at Pilot Station, which is a Yupik Eskimo village of about 400 people, and we want to try to establish good connections with those folks and hopefully get some collaborations going with students and their teachers, and even we hope that they'll be able to participate in some of the sampling. And the same thing on the Mackenzie River. We'll be in Inuvik, which is a town of about 5,000, but also we'll spend some time in Sikichik, which is an indigenous village of a couple hundred people. So in all those places, we want to not just go out and grab our water samples, but also spend some time interacting with people in the community.
Okay, great. And he was Max, you were on Scientific Frontiers last night on a program I saw.
All right.
Like, hey, I know that guy. Amy.
Yeah, so You know, Max and I are very fortunate that we had the opportunity to work together last year, and so I'm expecting that things will go just as well this year. I've gotten really excited about using scientific projects as a way to teach content in my elementary school classroom. I think it was another teacher that mentioned something along the lines that it really provides real experiences for kids. And I've noticed with the work that I've done so far that it also automatically answers the question of why do I have to learn this stuff when they interact and see scientists using the same concepts that they're being taught in the classroom. So I'm excited this year, in addition to the project that we're working on, to try and incorporate some of the other Trek projects into the classroom, because it has been so beneficial for my own teaching and also for my students. So that's one thing that I'm looking forward to. And then the other thing that Max sort of touched on was the idea, I think we're really fortunate with our project to be working in villages where we have the opportunity to interact with people. And so I hope that we have the opportunity to do that again in the villages where we are this year, and that hopefully I can make that connection with my kids, my students, and the students in the Arctic on some level, either during the trip or after the trip. Because the other thing that had made the teaching of this project so great in the classroom this year was the cultural connection. I mean, my kids just thrived on that, and they've been writing letters back and forth to the kids in Gigansk, and now we've got some kids that can email from Gigansk. And so it's really using all those technology, cultural, scientific venues and putting them together in a really unique way. So I'm hoping to continue to be able to do that. And also the big thing that I'm struggling with right now is, you know, how to keep there. Well, there are two things. Last year, I think I was really fortunate to be doing field work during the summertime. I mean, during the school year. And this year, I'm going to be during the summer. And, you know, to try and get as many kids involved during that summertime is going to prove to be more of a challenge this year than it was last year. So that's one thing that I'm thinking about. And then the second thing is, what was I just thinking? Trying to get more classrooms involved, in the sense that I teach 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, and so I've had two classes that have followed me last year. Actually, all three classes did. So, and they are all very familiar with the project, and that doesn't mean to say that there isn't a whole lot more to learn, because there really is. But it would be really beneficial to get some middle school students involved. So really trying to work with other teachers is going to be something that I am hoping for this field season.
Okay, great. Thank you, everybody, for your presentations.